Now it's my pleasure to introduce Duran Duran.
Doctor City, now is the wire. Student or something, up is the fire.
You live me on. Yeah!
Woohoo!
And welcome. Thank you to our live studio audience. This is 80s Obsesso.
Man, if Simple Minds were here in person, that would be the greatest show ever.
Yeah, sorry for our kind of crappy recording equipment, but you know, they played pretty well, so that's what matters.
Yeah, no, for Scotsmen.
Yeah. I mean, not like not Irishmen or anything, but
no.
Still.
No.
Gotta give them just, you know, benefit of the doubt.
Right. They did their best. And actually, that was from Saturday Night Live, just to be fair. We'll come up, we'll be forthright about it.
Yes, this is our Saturday Night Live show, and we actually have all songs today that were live performances from Saturday Night Live, so that's pretty excellent. We had Madonna introducing Simple Minds there.
I know. I always find that so weird. That's from 1985, and that was when she was really getting into her, like, I'm an actress phase with Who's That Girl and Desperately Seeking Susan. And it just,
Dick Tracy.
Well, Dick Tracy was in 1990.
Oh, okay.
So this was a few years before that, but I just find it funny that I could see Madonna saying, "No, I'm not going to play music. I'm just going to be there to act." Mm-hmm. You know, cuz music will distract me from the acting or something. So they had to find Simple Minds to, I mean, it's like Duran Duran hosting as actors and then having, you know, Minute Work as the musical guest or something. Just really strange to me.
Yeah, I wonder, like, in the 80s, like, what would have, like, made her more, like, rich just in the long run, like, continuing her pop career, or if, like, being a Hollywood actress would have actually just got her up to that next level. I mean, I suppose just as far as, like, fame and everything, probably being a Hollywood actress would have actually gotten her up to sort of a next level of superstardom, at least.
Right. Well, that's true. She probably would have made more money in movies had her movies been successful.
Mm-hmm.
She made a couple there, Shanghai Surprise and Desperately Seeking Susan, but Who's That Girl? Both of those bombed. Mm-hmm. And so then I think her movie career was pretty much over. But she never really stopped recording during that period.
Mm-hmm.
She was still releasing, you know, Causing a Commotion and You Can Dance and Into the Groove and all those songs at the same time. So
yeah, she still stayed, like, pretty much the same level of popularity, like, doing music. And then she did a couple movies, like, smaller roles, like A League of Their Own, that were actually pretty good, like, mm-hmm. roles and good movies and stuff like that. But as far as her being, like, a star of a movie, that just never really happened except for Desperately Seeking Susan, right? That was probably her biggest hit.
As far as it being successful, yes. She gave it another shot in the 90s with Body of Proof with Willem Dafoe, where basically Madonna just put, you know, hot wax on her nipples the whole movie. And that movie tanked as well. So
wasn't that recorded in Portland or Oregon?
It was, yeah. It was filmed in Portland. Her nipples were filmed in Portland. I don't know where the rest of it was filmed.
So we could actually go somewhere where her nipples actually were and
they have a tour. They have a bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Body of Evidence bus.
Yeah.
Red. It's Willem Dafoe, the bus driver.
Hey, guys. He doesn't have much else going on.
Waiting for the next Spider-Man movie. No, Willem Dafoe's a great actor.
He is.
Love that guy.
He is. Not William.
Willem.
There you go.
Right.
Did Willem Dafoe ever host Saturday Night Live? Because that's what we're basically being obsessed with today. Our obsesso is SNL from the 80s. And I don't know if he ever hosted.
I think so. I've got my my large book here, and it's saying that no.
Okay.
He has never hosted, and it's a shame.
But Flip Wilson will host, for God's sakes. I'm looking at the list now.
In the 80s and 70s, there's just some, like, kind of bizarre people hosting, like
James Coburn,
Donald Pleasance, George Kennedy. I mean, there was a time there where the show wasn't as popular as it once were, which was in the 70s with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Jane Curtin. It was, like, for a while there, I think, like, just really, like, kind of the thing to do. Everyone was talking about after the weekend what was on Saturday Night Live during their heyday in, like, the late 70s. And then early 80s there was kind of a stretch where they were struggling a little bit to get, like, you know, A-list guests and stuff like that. You had, like, Kid Creole and the Coconuts and Captain Beefheart, one of my picks later on here. So, there was a time there where they weren't doing so great, and I think probably Eddie Murphy was their sort of savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I think also, you know, if you're a SNL conspiracy theorist, you'd probably say that the down years coincided with Lorne Michaels not being a part of the show. I mean, he's the one that started SNL and created it and put it all together and executive produced it. And he stopped after season 5, which was the final season with Bill Murray and Jane Curtin and those you know, Gilda Radner. And then he was out of the picture for about 6 years and then came back in 85 when Carvey and Hartman and those guys started to kind of get back into SNL. So really that 5 year period in the early 80s was the down years when they did not have Lorne Michaels as a part of the show.
Yeah, actually, look at this. We got a chart here of cast members, and Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi both stopped at the same season. And then the next season, we had Bill Murray, Lorraine Newman, Gilda Radner, Jane Curtin. They all left the next season. So after that, it was kind of like just a little bit of falling on hard times for a couple years there until Eddie Murphy kind of brought it back into relevance. And it was like the 80-81 season. That was really where it was falling on hard times. And if you go back and watch those shows, they're not all that funny at all. Like, there's a point there where it was just, like, kind of painful to watch.
Yeah. There's some bad, bad shows.
Which kind of happened again in the early 2000s after all those great 90s cast members left.
Well, in the early 90s, too, it was pretty bad. The Michael McKean, Mark McKinney, who used to be on Kids in the Hall, Janine Garofalo, Chris Elliott.
Well, that was like, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah,
that's early 90s was actually really good.
Well, I don't mean like, the early, I mean the mid, more the mid 90s.
Yeah, mid late 90s. Yeah.
Those were some bad years as well. So, but I mean, that's just the whole nature of SNL, really. It goes up and it goes down. I mean, personally, I think right now it's not very good. You know, they'll have a couple of funny sketches here and there, but I think the last couple seasons have been pretty one note, in my opinion, in the same sort of, oh, here's Kristen Wiig doing another little weird lady character, you know. I don't know. Yeah. That's just my opinion, I guess.
Yeah, like when you get to the point where it's like the same like recurring character every week doing like just a slight variation on something, then it gets to the bad point. But for me, like my favorite like part of the like era of the show was like Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon doing the Weekend Updates, and just like late 80s going into the 90s, and when Chris Farley came on, that was probably like the best, you know, for me. Adam Sandler too was one of my favorite cast members.
I would say 90-91. Other than talking about the original cast in the 70s, you know, with the very first one with Chevy Chase, or maybe a little bit later with Bill Murray, who took Chevy's place. But 90-91 is probably the pinnacle of the Dana Carvey years. I mean, you had Mike Myers had gotten a year under his belt, and he had just started doing Dieter and Wayne's World. That all came out in 90-91 that season. I don't know what season that would be, maybe 15, something like that. Season
probably 90-91, yeah.
But yeah, that's great season. That's when Farley started to get plugged in there a little bit in 91. So, but for our show today, we're focusing on the 80s, and we got some great picks from the 80s. That's one thing I was looking at the list of episodes, and yeah, you have some really, really sketchy guests in the 80s, but all the musical guests, for the most part, especially in season 8 and 9, which was 82, 83, 84, just some stellar bands, though. Michael McDonald right there.
Michael McDonald and Susan St. James, great combo there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got some, like, just super awesome picks. You got, like, you know, Queen, we're gonna play later, and Stevie Wonder, Randy Newman. They've also just, like, here and there, you kind of got to, like, scratch your head, the Bus Boys. Like, who the hell are they?
They had a hit off of the Ghostbusters soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas hosted that show, though, so it was still going to be awesome. Yeah, one of the, like, more head-scratching picks that is going to be one of our picks today was, like, a controversial episode where the band Fear played. And it was John Belushi made it happen, basically. He's a punk rocker at heart and anarchist, so he got one of his favorite punk bands to play. And Donald Pleasance was the host. I don't even know who that is. Some old guy.
Donald Pleasance was in Halloween. He played Dr. Loomis.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
So it's kind of an appropriate...
It was the Halloween show.
Yeah.
Do you think that like would have been like a good like pick? Was he famous enough really to host Saturday Night Live at that point?
I think so, yeah. Because Halloween was a major hit, the first one. Mm-hmm. And then I think Halloween 2 had came out right around this. This was October 31st of 81. So Halloween 2 is pretty fresh on everyone's mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, I would say it was a good pick.
Okay, cool. But yeah, like Fear played, and it was like really bizarre because it's the only time I've ever seen like a mosh pit on Saturday Night Live, and I posted that link on 80sobsessed.blogspot.com for you to check that out. And I guess they were like worried that the crowd was going to riot towards the end of the show, so they kind of had to cut their song short. And like people were starting to get violent and stuff in the crowd. So pretty interesting pick.
There's an interesting thing as well, because they were really trying to stir it up, the band Fear. And there's a thing at the beginning where they say, it's great to be here in New Jersey, which got, you know, not the people moshing, but everyone else watching kind of like riled up. Like, what? Yeah. These punks don't even know where they are.
Yeah, didn't they play the song like New York's Great if you like saxophones?
Yes. That's actually what we're going to hear.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and I guess they were just trying to like really piss off New Yorkers, and because they're from LA and they were just trying to say New York sucks and stuff, which is very punk rock of them. And yeah, drummer from Fear, Spit Sticks, actually lives in Portland now. So
nice. In a Northwest. Damn, we should have got him on the phone.
Yeah, we probably could have.
Son of a.
But no problem. We'll get him sometime. Be a good guess maybe for us.
So what are you going to pick after Fear?
Well, I was also, yeah, just talking about sort of the early 80s and some of the weird picks that they had, and one of them was Captain Beefheart and his magic band doing Hothead and Malcolm McDowell hosting. So that must have been a very odd show. I don't think Captain Beefheart has before or after ever played on TV, just because it's pretty much like universally hated by mainstream audiences.
Now, I don't know much about him, but I mean, it's kind of progressive experimental stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like kind of like a more acid bent version of the blues.
Okay.
Like the blues in some sort of like alternate universe where everyone's on drugs or something.
Ooh.
He's done some very bizarre stuff over the years. This is a little bit more normal just compared to like his stuff he did in the 60s and 70s, but good pick. I like this song, and Malcolm McDowell, also interesting choice for a host in 1980.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Maybe it was like for the Time Machine movie where he's like chasing Jack the Ripper or something.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Totally forgotten about that movie. Cool. Well, it's funny looking at these before we get into Fear, as Donald Pleasance will say, as opposed to now, with the exception of your occasional Betty White or something that hosts now, there is so many old people. And you know, I'm using the word old in a relative sense, I guess, but like Ellen Burstyn, David Carradine, Ray Sharkey, you know, Bob Newhart, Strother Martin, all these old people. And nowadays it's like all about the young, you know, Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, you know, the Jonas Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look later, it's, you know, Emma Stone, Anne Hathaway. I mean, occasionally I guess they'll have an older folk in there, but most of the time it's more Jesse Eisenberg than it is Robert De Niro.
Yeah, totally. It's just like, this guy just turned 16 and he was the guest on a sitcom that just came out yesterday. Yeah. So we're going to get him. He's really hot. So, yeah.
Well, a lot of it really is tied into promotion. It's like, you know, publicists calling SNL and saying, hey, Justin Bieber's got a new record.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get him on the show. As opposed to, I think, previous to that, it was more about just interesting guests and quality of the writing, but now it's really just a lot of it's tied into selling a product, selling a TV show, selling a record.
Yeah, why can't it just be like the old days? What's going on with the world today?
Never.
I don't know. But here it's always the 80s, so we'll get into the classic never-ending 80s of 80s Obsessed. We'll be back.
Our guests for this evening, the group. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here in New Jersey.
It's really good to have a bunch of friends like you all here.
I wish everybody was as nice as you all.
I'll give you a dollar if you be my friend.
This is where they invented
it. I'll give you a dollar.
This is called New York's All Right if you like saxophones. Do y'all sound right if you like art and jazz? Do y'all sound right if you like...
Been a long time since them days. Hi, I'm Buckwheat. Remember me? And I have compiled for you and your listening pleasure some of my favorite songs. It's all here on this unspectacular offer. Buckwheat sings. Take a whistle. Unt, ties, three times I made it.
Yes, they're all here.
Looking for nub in all the wrong places. Looking for nub.
Once Buckwheat sings a song, it's eternally his.
It died, dead a diver, then on the died, it died.
The man who sold more records than Elvis or the Beatles in Kenya.
Una panuna banga.
And if you order now, you'll get Buckwheat's tribute to Alfalfa.
I'm the baba of the meal. Figaro, Figaro.
Order today. Send $49.95 for the full volume to Buckwheat. Buy Purdy Free. New North, New York.
Take me from my dang, your dang a nubbin. Buy my wacket. All tight.
Appearance on national television are Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band!
Burning weed, she's a red hot pig. She's She's a hot hit.
And Silver Bell Records is proud to present A Dysfunctional Family Christmas. This is the album your family is sure to cherish for Christmases to come.
Christmas time, you force a smile. Everyone is joining in the group denial. Folks behaving infantile. Family Christmas time.
Hit after dysfunctional hit. Songs like The Almost Perfect Christmas.
Dinner is perfect, the presents are perfect, the tree and the
your brother yells at your mother, Christmas is ruined for everyone.
Get timeless favorites like Someday I'll Get Christmas Right, I've Got My Drinking Under Control for the Holidays, Peace on Earth Where, and The Daughter's Song.
Presents and wrapping paper, ribbons and bows and all that stuff. Why do we even bother? Nothing we can do is good enough.
And this country Christmas classic.
Every Christmas when you got drunk, I told the children you were not drunk. And I said, Tommy, you're not being bad. It's just that Christmas makes your mommy mad.
You'll get Can't You Let It Drop, It's Christmas. What I Want, You Can't Buy Me. Fruitcake and Shame. And Why Am I the Only One Who Knows What Christmas Really Means? And many more.
Underneath the mistletoe, it's a 2x2 jingle bell world. And underneath all those extra pounds is a very pretty girl.
Daddy's nose is red and runny. Daddy's voice is gruff and funny. And the only words I can understand are God and Kim and Christmas.
Just imagine 24 timeless standards, including the classic Carol of Intimacy.
Leave me alone, please go away. I'm doing fine, just get away. Leave me alone, please go away. I'm doing fine, just get away. Leave me alone, please go away. I'm doing fine, just get away.
To order, call 1-800-GET-HELP today. Operators are standing by.
Once again, let's hear it from Robert Plant and Honey Drippers.
Christmas, Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby. And the snow is falling on the ground.
Christmas, Christmas.
Yes, it's Christmas time, pretty baby. And the snow is falling on the ground.
Christmas, Christmas.
our NATO ally, ladies and gentlemen, the Sugar Cubes.
Barry said you had a demo tape of the new songs. We can't wait to hear them.
We really can't.
But I haven't actually finished the tape.
Derek, your deal calls for a demo, and Barry promised.
Well, I know that. I know that. But what I thought I'd do is play some of the tracks for you here now, live.
We love that. There's the piano.
Don't keep us in suspense.
Great. This is great. Well, these are just sort of works in progress, you know. But all right, here goes. This one I call, the lady I know. There's a lady I know. If I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know. My nanny, she went downtown. She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. She's chopping broccoli. She's chopping.
All right, we are back. 80s Obsesso with Jake and DJ Ferris. Little Dana Carvey there.
Sorry. I was so... I
shouldn't have done Can't that, Can't do Jake. This. I'm Even sorry. Though FCC is not on our backs anymore, it's still... Gotta keep it classy here.
That was extremely rude. I'm sorry, Dana Carvey.
In Manchester Studios here.
I know.
It's a very classy place.
Down here. There's beer bottles. Tapestries. All over the place. Mm-hmm. Tapestries. I don't see. I
royal.
See.
Everything's royal purple.
It
and
is.
And there's lots of heraldry.
Oh, they're going to say heroin.
No.
Okay. Because I see a needle over there.
No, there's big tapestries with griffins and stuff in Manchester Studios.
What the hell is a griffin?
Griffin, lion mixed with an eagle. You don't know about heraldry.
Are you on acid right now?
Just trying to create a visual impression for our audience of our studio.
Oh, okay. Right. There is a griffin right behind us. I think people are going to turn us off at this point.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing our Saturday Night Live show today, and of course we had some clips in there from the show, and all those songs we played were actual performances from the Sugar Cubes, Bjork's old band. And we also had the Honey Drippers doing a Christmas song. And that was Robert Plant, Jimmy Page. After Zeppelin, they also did a band with Paul Schaefer of the Late Night fame.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian Setzer was on guitar during that one. And some other That's famous awesome. Folks. Yep.
That sounds like a good clip to find and throw up on 80sobsessor.blogspot.com.
Yep, apparently very, very rare. So mm-hmm. please download this after the show, 80sobsessor.blogspot. Of course, if you're listening, you probably have already found it because we're not live anymore. But
right. Oh, that's true. You're probably getting the show from that yes. blog.
Okay. Or archive.org. All of our shows are on there.
Right. The funny thing is Paul Schaefer, previous to being famous for Late Night with David Letterman, was on Saturday Night Live.
Was he?
Quite a bit, yeah. In the 70s, he was part of the band. And then he started to do a lot of sketches in the 79-80 season, which was the last season with Radner and Bill Murray. Yeah, he did a character, Don Kirshner, rock circus or something.
Oh, yeah. He's a funny guy. He was also in, Spinal Tap. I was on Letterman. He always just seems, just kind of awkward. He's not...
He always slaps.
It's funny, Dave.
Yeah.
He's not, doesn't seem like he's really, an actor or whatever, but I guess he's just always playing a part.
Right.
Paul Schaefer. He's a clever guy. Yeah, Paul Schaefer. And, of course, I remember G.E. Smith,
mm-hmm.
the guitar player. He was also in a Hall & Oates, longest-running band. He was their lead guitar player.
Okay. He kind of looks like Oates or Hall's brother, I think. I think he looks a little bit like Daryl Hall.
Yeah, he just kind of also has a face like an Oompa Loompa, though.
G.E. Smith?
G.E. Smith. He's just
It is kind of mongoloid.
He's one of the ugliest men in rock.
Yeah.
But
you're right about that.
But he's always got a smile on his face.
He smile. Passed away,
Oh, has he?
So,
oh,
got
sorry.
A knock on wood.
Sorry to the family of G.E. Smith there. But
if they're listening.
But the Whoops. Punk band The Vandals actually wrote a song about how they hate G.E. Smith long before. And how he can't sleep in their backyard, basically.
Okay.
It's a pretty good song.
Wow.
It's called Not in My Backyard.
That's so random. You'd be hateful of G.E. Smith.
I'm not really. It's just kind of funny to hear a little bit.
Okay.
Anyway, let's
Speaking
get back
of
to
funny.
Music here.
Yeah.
A couple really classic performances I got lined up for us. One of my favorites was David Bowie brought Claus Nomi on to his musical spot late 1979, very close to the new year of 1980. And they did The Man That Sold the World together. Claus Nomi did kind of the end singing that Bowie original did, that except for in his high voice.
Wait, once more. Got it.
We did the higher octave like that. And that's kind of like Bowie just trying to break in Claus Nomi into the mainstream. Claus Nomi desperately wanted to be a mainstream pop act and eventually did get his wish before his untimely demise. Mm. But
at the hands of Hitler. Right?
Well, he was actually German.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I apologize if this comes across poorly, but I just don't think you're going to be a pop sensation with the name Klaus Nomi. I mean, people are just too synonymous with Germanism. And I think at that time, it's still too close to World War II.
Well, I think that was probably just the least of his, you know, worries, because he also, you know, wore makeup and, like, white face and dressed in, like, bizarre suits and sang opera in falsetto.
Do you think Gary Numan stole his persona from Klaus Nomi?
I think they were just pretty much coming into their own at the same time, and Nomi was pretty much only known in England, or sorry, New York. Newman was pretty much only known in England at the same time. So I think they were just parallels with each other.
Okay.
Honestly.
Okay, because that sounds a lot like his early shtick with the white face and the black hair and the kind of spacesuit. I'm talking Gary Numan here. Yeah. He actually played a musical guest in 1980 with Elliot Gould as the host, and I almost played Praying to the Aliens here on the show today. Right. But
he had an interesting story about that, how they had to, like, actually put the words on the bottom of the screen just so people wouldn't get too upset and confused about the song.
Yeah, so he comes out, plays Cars first, and no words, and then does Praying to the Aliens as the second song. Not only do they have a title card as he's starting to play that says Praying to the Aliens, but yeah, the words are at the bottom of the screen. So I don't know if that was something Gary Numan wanted to do, or if SNL decided to do that, or whatever. But I will tell you this much, as an appreciator of synthesizers, I'm going to find that clip. I'll put that clip on Blogspot at some point if I can find it. The setup for that band with synthesizers on that performance is insane.
Yeah.
They've got like three different dudes on synthesizers, and they literally have like maybe 12, you know, circa 1979, 80 synthesizers in this performance. It's amazing.
Going to watch that alone in my room sometime. Sounds pretty awesome.
With some incense burning.
Some incense burning, correct.
You're going to be a one-man band. Now, speaking of, you're talking about David Bowie's coming into his own. Now that I'm, I can make some inferences there. Oh, because yeah, I think there was a little relationship going on.
Could be. Nomi was gay. Yeah. Bowie was bisexual, so it's possible.
So I think that there was some frenetic, I don't even know if that's the right word for that, energy on this performance, I think.
Well, yeah, I definitely felt some good energy on this performance. Not sure if it was that kind, but we'll, you know, judge for yourself, I guess.
Okay.
And come down to final pick time. I also had Sparks, I Predict. Kind of an odd choice just because they were never super mainstream, but pretty cool that they were on in the 80s. So I guess Nomi, Sparks, and then if we have time, Queen, doing A Crazy Little Thing Called Love for me. And how about you for your final picks here?
Well, one quick thing I was saying about Sparks is their other song they played, which is Mickey Mouse, has a really funny intro. I don't know what the guy's name is, but he's the keyboardist with the funny mustache. He goes into this long, like, 2-minute speech right before the song about mice. Like, you know, all the things, where they live and what they eat and stuff. And Danny DeVito is just standing there like, what is going on? So that's kind of funny for the other one for Sparks. I got Luca for Suzanne Vega is one of my final picks from 87. Mark Harmon, of course, you know, classic from Summer School. He was the host. And then I'll have the Gangsters from The Specials.
Cool.
From, I believe, 1980 as my two picks.
Cool. I did put the other video for Sparks on the Blogspot, and I thought it was pretty weird. Like, that keyboard player is just acting really weird, not even, like, playing and just looking into the camera all funny. So pretty interesting. I don't think you would really see that kind of, like, strange choice anymore, but we can always go back and relive the memories here. And next week we're gonna do one of your no was this your, this was your pick. So my pick next week is going to be bass players, our favorite bass players of the 80s.
Yes. I almost started to help you a little bit, but burp, 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 burp. That's my bass noise.
Kazoo, flute, no, no, bass.
We'll get to them all eventually.
Eventually we'll
the,
get to
the best the 80s bassoon, glockenspiel player.
Yeah, clarinet.
Clarinet.
All that kind of stuff. French horns.
French horn.
So eventually, but bass will come first, of course. And we will be with you next time. Happy New Year, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, David Bowie.
Said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago. His hand and made my way back home. I roamed from distant land for years and years. I roamed, I gazed a ghastly stare, but all the millions here, we must have died alone a long, long time ago. Hot tub!
right back with more Celebrity Hot Tub. Coming up next, Dr. Joyce Brothers joins James Brown on Celebrity Hot Tub Party.
Suzanne Vega.
Shakes all like a jellyfish. You kinda like it.
hitchhike. Take a long ride on my motorbike to Ready,
Ready, Freddy,
to raise a little big dollar.
Gentlemen, the specials.
Bernie Rose knows, don't argue!
Thank you.
good friends, Sparks. Yeah.